Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I am going to be on TV soon. You guys are going to see the other side of Alan Taylor. I will be on ABC on Live with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest, April 2nd through the 6th. I'm a car guy. I am the automotive expert for Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest, and have been for, this will be my 19th year. And right now I'm fat, so I'm on a diet. Yep, that's right. I'm on a diet, and the whole world knows about it when I go on a diet, so now you know about it. I have been eating healthy. A lot of my friends are doing paleo. Some are doing vegetarian. Others are doing like full-on vegan. And all us fat people, we roll together because we roll because we're fat. But the point is that we get to a point where we get sick of looking at ourselves. And the first thing I ask a lot of these people is, what is the one thing in common with a lot of these really successful CEOs and founders is they all work out. They all have really, really, you know, it's like built into their life, which is this, if I don't work out, I can't think clearly. Okay. And I've heard that 100 times. So I bought a gym. Yes, I bought a gym about a month ago. And I have only worked out there. No, it's been 2 months. I've only worked out 3 times, but I travel a lot. So I'm starting with the diet and then I'm going to try my butt off to get in there and work out. But my problem is I travel so much. And so I'm working on my eating. Now, because I travel a lot, I'm always in airports. There's really not that much good choices in the little airports around. Some of the big ones have some pretty good food, but I'm starting to think that, you know, I have to become like a vegetarian or a paleo or something. So I'm looking through Facebook the other day and I see these donuts and I'm like, some jerk is posting donuts and they know I'm on a diet. But I look closely and these are like paleo donuts. And I'm like, what? Yes, paleo, really good ingredients, gluten-free donuts. I'm like, how in the world? So I sent an email to this company called Paleo Bakehouse. And I said, is there an entrepreneur story here? Because I thought, I want to try these, but maybe you never know. And hell, there was a big entrepreneur story. And so guess what? Brian Bullard and Josie Jocelyn, don't call me Jocelyn, it's Josie Peralta. They are high school sweethearts. They are on the phone right now, co-founders, husband and wife, 27 and 29 years old of Paleo Bakehouse. They started a Kickstarter campaign and they now are in business. And I have to think that they're killing it because they sent me a little selection of these delicious donuts and cookies and muffins. And let me just tell you, I ate a bunch of them just now, but dairy-free, preservative-free, all-natural, gluten-free, chocolate chip cookie. What else did I eat here? Hold on. Cinnamon apple empanada. And what's this last one I had? Oh, yeah, the double chocolate donut. I am feeling pretty guilt-free. Brian and Josie, you guys, this stuff is delish, man.
Thank you.
So look, we're going to start out. I've been talking like crazy because this is like so many people are me. I am the collective soul of so many chubby people that we sit around. You know what they saying? That sitting is the new smoking, right? So we sit around, we get unhealthy. Yeah. And then one day we look at ourselves in the mirror that I try not to do. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we go, man, you have really let yourself go. And so we start this campaign of being healthy, eating better foods, doing more exercise, being more thoughtful of how much sleep we get, and all the things that the real winners in our game of being an entrepreneur, they'll all tell you that's like, that's baked in. And I'm using a little, you know, baking, you know, anyway, it's baked into their routine, right? So what I want to do is I want to introduce the world to you and Paleo Bakehouse, to your very, very cute story, of which I haven't heard the whole thing, so I'm going to let everybody hear that. And then we're going to hear about how you guys launched a successful Kickstarter campaign and what is next in the world of two young people that are really taking life, you know, the entrepreneur way. I love that. So we're going to take a little break, come back, and you guys get to meet the founders, husband and wife team from Paleo Bakehouse. Now, PaleoBakehouse.com. Check it out while we're in the commercial break. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Week.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
All right, here we are once again, Entrepreneur Weekly. Our show is part of Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media. Check it out at entrepreneur.com. There's tons and tons of great interviews, like the one we're about to have, because I did all the talking in the first segment with Brian Bullart and Josie Peralta. They are the co-founders, husband and wife team at Paleo Bakehouse. Now, again, this is paleo and gluten-free cookies and muffins and all kinds of really good stuff. I just got done having a whole bunch of them. Delish. And I thought to myself, you know, God, there's so many people that are like starving themselves of some of these really nice, you know, things that they always got to have when they were fat, P-H-A-T. You know what I'm saying? And you guys are putting it out there, but this is a really cool entrepreneur story. Did I get it right? Like 29 and 27 years old, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Brian, do me a favor. You guys are sweethearts from high school. Give us a little bit about your story, and Josie, jump in whenever you want. Go for it.
I would love to. I actually love telling our story. It's not as romantic as you would probably think, seeing how we're all the way from high school. But I was eating lunch one day, and it's like a breezeway area, so everyone sits outside. And I noticed Josie, which at the time I called her the girl in the green sweater. And because I had no mutual friends with her or anything. And I saw her from across the lunchroom, and I said, that girl right there, I'm going to marry her one day. And I told my friends, and they thought I was a creep. And, you know, would you know it? Josie thought I was a creep too, because
right.
I walked up to her. I was brave enough to walk up to her one day and asked her if I can sit next to her. And the answer was no. that was the beginning of a relationship. Then, you know, we just became friends for a good while. And persistence always beats resistance.
Right.
Because one day I asked her to be my girlfriend. She said no, which I'm very used to at this point. But she said no. And I said, you know what? Okay. If you want to be friends, friends is what you want, then friends is what you'll get. And the second I did that, she realized what a catch I was and that she would be my girlfriend. And we've been together for about 13 years, married for 2, and we're having a great time.
That is awesome. Now, Josie, from your side, was he like a big, tall, you know, geeky guy, or did you think, hey, he's good looking? What was the original first thoughts when you met this guy, right? And he's probably going to hear this for the first time. Be honest.
Well, he was still tall. He had long hair. He was in a rock band.
Oh, geez.
And I was just very, like, I was very closed off. I was like, I don't know who you are. You're a stranger to me. I mean, I was taught stranger danger. Like, I don't know you.
Right, right.
So for me, it was just, no, you can't sit here. But it worked out. He turned out to be a great guy. And I'm happy that he kept insisting, because it turned out, you know, the story ended well.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. So now do me a favor. It's a cute story, and I love hearing that. I think, you know, listen, you guys are now, you're connected in business and in marriage, and that ain't no easy task. And let me just tell you, my wife just actually walked into the room here, and we've been married 32 years together, 37. And let me just tell you, there is a lot of ups and downs, and so you really got to love each other. That's for damn sure. And you can't just let the little things bug you, and you got to listen to each other. But let me ask you about this. Tell the world a little bit about why paleo for you two.
It's basically a lifestyle for us. It's something that on a daily basis, we live by it. We eat healthy. We eat basically the way that our bodies were intended to eat. Everything is, you know, from the plants to protein. And it just makes us feel healthy. It's something for me that whenever I wake up in the morning, my body feels good. So it's just being able to feed myself something that I know is fueling my body in a positive way, and it's making me feel great.
I think paleo has taken multiple forms over the years. Before, it was not that I would say very strict, but basically the general rule of paleo is if it has a face or it grows from the ground, eat it. So basically what we did was we kind of took those philosophies and just kind of infused it in a product.
Wow, if it has a face or grows in the ground. It's just kind of opposite of the, you know, the vegetarians are like, if it has a face, I don't want to eat it. Isn't that funny? Well, all right, look, we're going to come back and want to find out about launching a successful Kickstarter campaign. And then you guys can give a little bit of advice on some of the things you've learned along the way. And would you do anything different? Or are you exactly where you want to be? Young couple, you're killing it. The company, again, is paleobakehouse.com on the web. And be careful. I'm telling you, if you see this stuff, you're going to want it. Buy it and eat it. It's good. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So you fall in love with your high school sweetheart. You then get married and you start a business and everything's peachy. I have a feeling that's kind of where these two are, Ryan and Josie. Paleo Bakehouse. They got my attention on Facebook. Those Facebook ads really work. I bought a truck for 50 some odd thousand dollars while I was eating breakfast with my wife the other day because of some stupid ad that popped up. I went down there and bought it. Now I got a box full of cookies and muffins and donuts that are all, you know, dairy free, preservative free, all natural, gluten free, because I'm not wanting to eat bread and stuff. So you got me right now. I go, this is a really cool story. You're young. You're doing all the things that young people do, like launching a successful Kickstarter campaign. Not all of them are successful. Give us 2 minutes on yours, Brian.
I guess a backstory about the Kickstarter campaign on why we did it in the first place. We were developing a lot of traction through Instagram at the time, and a lot of people were asking us if we were in stores or if we, you know, ship online. And we were actually baking all of our products out of Josie's mom's oven at her house.
Oh,
so we said, well, I mean, if we're going to meet this demand, we're going to need a commercial kitchen.
Right.
So then that's when we took the Kickstarter. And then we successfully raised, I believe it was a little over $21,000.
Right.
And then that was able to help fund our commercial kitchen. And full disclosure, it was not $20,000 to build that kitchen.
Right. Of course not. But it was the little extra you needed to be able to get the job done. Even if you had to do it in bits and pieces along the way, you got the most important stuff you needed, and then you added to it like we all. That's an entrepreneur, right? I see here that you had a little time when you almost had to close the doors. What happened there?
Okay, so that was actually back in 2016. We were still doing one-off product sales. So we would bake certain products, we would put them on our store, and then people can purchase the products, and all of our products were baked to order. So we would release certain products every now and then, but we weren't collecting any kind of like residual income or anything like that. So it was very volatile depending on the certain month.
Right.
And Josie kind of told me one day, you know, we were both pretty defeated that day. And she says, hey, I don't know what we're going to do. We have this bakery, but it's just not working. What do we do? And at that time, I was telling Josie that maybe we should try a new concept, like a monthly subscription box where customers can get a variety of different products every single month. And at first she thought I was crazy, but what entrepreneur, you know, people usually think entrepreneurs are crazy anyway.
Right.
So I kept driving the idea to her, and one day she just told me, you know what, we're going to try this idea, and if this doesn't work, we're going to have to close the doors. And
it worked.
That was back in 2015.
Right.
So
that's awesome. So now, tell me what you're excited about right now, and where are you guys? How's it going? Give me 2 minutes. Hurry up. Do it. Do it. I want to know.
Well, okay, so...
Come on, Josie. Really Josie, let Josie talk. Come on, Josie. Say it.
Can you tell who's the one who loves to talk in this?
I know. That's all right, but I would do it. Josie, you give me the answer on that one.
All right, so right now we are... With the subscription box still going on, we're doing just mini releases on products and basically just constantly feeding our customers what they want. You know, we've been able to create a product that not only is healthy and good for you, but it tastes good. So I feel like that's what made us stand out from all of the rest. So we've just been able to deliver to people and give people what they were lacking. What's been lacking in the community.
Yeah. If you had it all over to do over again, what would you do differently?
You know, I don't think I would take anything back.
That's awesome.
I think we've learned a lot of valuable lessons along the way, and we've been doing it together. So it's really tested, you know, our marriage, and it's tested, you know, our entrepreneurial backbone. So I think everything that we've gone through has really taught us a valuable lesson. So I really wouldn't do anything different.
I love that. You know what? I think about my life all the time. I have kids older than you guys, and I'm about to be a grandfather. I look back at my life, and, you know, I've had a lot of things that were like, yikes. You know, it's like, well, how the hell did I let myself? But you know what? I mean, you got to go through those things. Those are the building blocks of life. And if you don't become bitter, you become better. It's just like when you taste your batter. If it's not good, you do another batch and you taste it again. And you go, that's what I want it to be. And I got to tell you, you've done a fantastic job. I did not have one bite of any of these things. They sent me a whole selection of different gluten-free cookies. They're all part of that kind of paleo diet. If you guys don't know what that is, you're living in a cave. This is paleobakehouse.com. You guys can check it out. But it was all delicious, and I could taste the love in it. And I think you guys, you know, I've done a fantastic job. I wish you absolutely the best. Listen, call me if you ever have questions. I'm only 30 years ahead of you in life and marriage and all that kind of garbage. I want to be a part of your life. I'm going to keep on eating these things because I have no sweets to eat. So now it's Paleo Bakehouse for me, baby. Guys, thank you very much. Congratulations. Keep up the good work. And you never know what's coming down the pike. Brian and Josie,
thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. PaleoBakehouse.com. We'll take a break, and there's more Entrepreneur Weekly. Go try one of these. You'll love it. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, imagine being the guy that invented the MP3 player way back in the day. Matter of fact, that guy won the Innovation Award at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in 1996. His name is Nathan Schulhoff, and he's got a new book out, Father of the MP3 Player, Lessons in Business and Life from a Visionary Entrepreneur. Welcome to Entrepreneur Weekly.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And I understand you're looking out over the ocean at your casita in Mexico. I think that's the right way to say it. I don't know how to speak Spanish.
Yes, I have a condo in Rosarito Beach, Mexico. I always say if I was any closer to the water, I would get wet.
There you go. Well, so let's talk about way back when. I talked to you briefly in the commercial break there, and you started on the MP3 player in 94, and then you showed it at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, the monster show, and won the Innovation Award. And I think you won a couple awards in 96. Take us back to your brain when you kind of were right there going, I got it. I did it. We figured it out. The MP3 player. I mean, it's like changed the world, really.
It's funny, the number one question I get asked at keynote speeches is, how did I think of the MP3 player?
Yeah.
That's the number one question.
Fair enough.
And the way I did it really was, I had just finished a company that I sold to a very large conglomerate out of Chicago called R.R. Donnelly and Sons. They're the largest private printers in the world. Plus, they own a lot of manufacturing space. And they bought a company, and this company was called Test Drive. And at this time, this was 1992, CDs were just becoming popular. A CD was not in every computer. They cost $1,000 back then, and they were external. But back then, you were using floppy disks with 1.3 megabytes of storage.
Right.
So CDs with over 500 megabytes, this was amazing.
Right.
So we bought a technology, Test Drive, that allowed you to test several different kinds of software. We would have $50,000 worth of software on one CD. And the person could use it five or six times and call in and then buy it over the phone. And we had a unlocking encryption that would allow it to be unlocked, and then you could use it immediately. So after I sold the company to R.R. Donnelly and Sons, I thought, well, what next? I've been an entrepreneur by heart. And to me, an entrepreneur is someone who jumps off a cliff and builds an airplane on the way down.
Right.
I thought, well, if I could do this with software, we should be able to do it with music. And while laying in bed one night, I had this vision of using the computer to download music, listen to it on the computer, or to portable devices, such as the MP3 player, where you could cut the wires from the computer. Well, I was so excited. I remember at like 2 a.m, I jumped out of bed, started taking notes, so I'd remember this stuff in the morning.
Right.
And when I woke up, you know, I was still excited about it. And I went into my office, talked about it with my creative director, and boom, up sprung a company called Information Highway Media Corporation. Mm-hmm. And then when we introduced the MP3 player, we changed the name to AudioHighway.com. Mm.
You know, it's interesting you talked about you jumped out of bed and wrote that idea down. I did a show for a year and a half with the lead singer and kind of the front man for ZZ Top. I love playing their music on this show. Billy Gibbons is his name. And I used to ask him questions because he's an interesting man. But the one piece of advice that he gave me was always keep a notebook. Keep one next to your bed. Keep one in your breast pocket of your suit. Keep one in your backpack. Always keep a notebook, he says, because you get these great ideas, and if you don't write them down, you forget about them, and they're gone. So I love the fact that you actually, you know, look, it changed the world, MP3 player. It was the next step, and it was a very big step. So how did you figure out how to compress and do all the things that it took? I mean, you were the innovator of all that stuff, am I right? Or did somebody already do it, and you just packaged it?
No. This was the first commercial. I did the first commercial download. I actually did the first cybercast on the internet. I actually rented Dodger Stadium, had 80,000 people in the stands, and broadcast to over 2 million people over the phone lines. I had Britney Spears, Will Smith, and an all-day concert. It was unbelievable. Actually, if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see a copy of Entertainment Tonight did a segment on it.
Wow. And what is that YouTube channel? Is it Nathan Schulhoff?
Yes.
Okay. And that's S-C-H-U-L-H-O-F.
After the show, I will forward you a link.
Okay.
So you may put it up.
Okay. Excellent. So then just walk us through. Give me like kind of the elevator pitch on, you know, the invention. What, you know, were you like the mad scientist with all these, you know, software engineers and developers of products? And, you know, how did you figure out how to do it is my question.
Well, I'd say I'm more of a businessman, or in today's political arena, I'd say I'm more of a stable genius. I'm just kidding. Once I had, you know, I did this with software, and I had found this technology while looking for a company to start. Mm. And I thought it would be neat that you could try and buy this thing. So I bought it. Mm. Then after I sold it. I thought, well, what next? I thought, you know, music is really where it's at. Music is the world. And I hated the thought that I had to go out back in those days and buy a whole, what they call an album,
right,
or 15 or 20 songs to get one song that I liked.
Right.
And if you remember how you had to get your play tunes, your playlist back in those days, it was cumbersome. I thought you should be able to play this one first, this one second. And I had this vision. Then, see, I'm not really a technical guy. I've learned to be technical over many years. I'm a businessman. I'm a creative sort.
Right.
So I went out and I found myself an engineer. He happened to be a PhD in rocket science from Stanford University.
Wow.
And I thought, well, you know, if this isn't rocket science, I at least have a rocket scientist. And boom, up sprung a MP3 player a few years later.
That's
this
awesome.
Man's Jim Jenke. And a more interesting story that I love to tell is when we were trying to figure all this out.
Hold on. Cliffhanger. When we were trying to figure all this out, and it's more interesting than inventing the MP3 player. We're going to take a little break.
It is.
Don't go anywhere. He has a brand new book out, the father of the MP3 player. He is an entrepreneur. That's why he's on Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll continue listening on the other side. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
All right, we're talking with Nathan Schulhoff. He is an inventor, but not just any inventor. He is the father of the MP3 player. That is the name of his book, Father of the MP3 Player, Lessons in Business and Life from a Visionary Entrepreneur. And he can also talk a little bit in the book, I'm sure, cover some of this, but how to raise the initial startup capital, how to find manufacturing partners, guerrilla marketing, and an exit strategy. But you said that you had a story that's even more interesting in this than this MP3 player.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, you got to realize this was never done before. And we were sitting in a room, we would have regular meetings of someone from the creative department, the engineering, the interface of how we're going to do this. And my creative director is a gentleman named Ted Richards, who was with me for many years through three companies. And he kept saying, you know, one dilemma I have, one problem I have is people are going to select all this music. How do we select it? How do they purchase it? How does this all come together on a GUI interface? Now, today this sounds simple, but back in 1994,
right,
not everybody had computers.
Right.
So one day in one of our meetings, Ted came in and he said, I figured it all out last night. He said, the way I'm going to do it is just like when you're in a supermarket. You're going to go down the aisles and pick your music and pick your books, and you're going to put them in a shopping cart. Then after you've selected everything, you're going to go to the checkout counter and check out. And that's how we're going to do it. And boom, the shopping cart was invented. And we never copyrighted it or protected it because we were focusing on audio and music in the MP3 player.
Right.
Of course,
I love this
story. The man's name is Ted Richards. And if you go to his website, I think it's tedrichards.net.
Yeah.
You'll see some of the stuff and you'll actually see the original interface. You'll somewhat think you're looking at iTunes, but this was 1994.
Boy.
One of the most exciting times of my life.
Patents, intellectual property, all these types of things. You know, inventors all too often get ripped off. I have a friend who's an inventor and he literally has so many stories of getting ripped off because he didn't patent things or apply for patents or, you know, go through the proper, I guess, just, you know, channels, you might say, to protect yourself. At what point did you think about that with the MP3 player?
Well, we patented from, I had an in-house lawyer. I spent time in law school myself. I filed six very strong patents on the MP3 player
there
that are expired today, but existed for many years that Sony Corporation ended up purchasing from me. And actually, when Apple Computer was involved with the Samsung case, I was consultant for a few years and a key part of that case.
Mm. It's interesting, you know, back in the day when these things were being invented. And then, of course, it had kind of a short shelf life, I think. What was it? Probably it was like really big for maybe, what, 5 years? And I'm only guessing 5, 10 years? How long? What was the shelf life?
The MP3 player?
Yeah, before they, you know.
Let me take that back a step. It was really popular from about 2003 to just a couple of years ago, a few years ago. But, see, my vision, eventually, I was doing shows all over the world, and I quit making the MP3 players after about a year because my vision was the MP3 player would be embedded in all kinds of devices, including your telephone. So, see, to me, it doesn't go away. When you're listening to music on your phone, I still look at you're using my invention, right. And it always puts a smile on my face.
That's neat. But it's so interesting how fast technology, I mean, it's light speed, right?
And light speed.
I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe in the scheme of things, the MP3 player had a long life in comparison to some things that get invented, and then 2 years later, it's been already obsolete by some new product. So,
it evolves. Yeah. Technology has a way of getting better. And yes, it's so fast. I mean, people used to say to me, what computer can I get that won't be obsolete in 1 year? And I'd say none.
Yeah, right.
You know, it moves. It's a wonderful field.
Yeah. Let me ask you, tell me about the book, Father of the MP3 Player. What is this book about for people?
Well, the book relates to my life is, you know, people picture someone who's done something that maybe made some changes in our world or built something or invented something, they think that they're a special person and a special breed of person, and they're in awe. Well, let me burst a bubble in that fact right now. I have the same dysfunctional life that everybody else does. I have the same obstacles and problems that everybody else does. I was fortunate. I was at the right time with the right idea. But I'd say the number one thing that somebody needs to become a successful entrepreneur is passion and commitment. If you can have passion and commitment, you can do this. You don't have to be special. You just have to have that commitment or be committed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and have incredible discipline, because at the end of the day, that is what will keep you on track. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about what you're doing now and have you also give maybe your top three, like you just gave perhaps one, your top three pieces of advice for entrepreneurs out there that are listening. I'm talking to the father of the MP3 player. That's the name of his book. His name is Nathan Schulhoff. NathanSchulhoff.com on the web. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. We're all entrepreneurs. That's the best part about this fun show is I get to meet some very interesting people. And, you know, we've had people on that have 10 businesses, 20, 50 businesses. We are unstoppable. And I think Nathan Schulhoff is unstoppable, too. I know he's on into some solar business now. But I heard you're also thinking about making a movie about the book Father of the MP3 Player.
Yes, my co-author, John Seeley, who is a best-selling author, has a few books out, is in discussions with a few movie producers right now to make a film about this book, Father of the MP3 Player. And, nice. You know, it's not only business stories, they're real life stories that are funny, sad, some will make you cry. I went through a near-death experience that took me 8 years to recover, and it's unbelievable. And it's documented in the story in a funny, heartwarming way.
Nice. And I know you're in the solar business. I want to get that last, but I'd like three pieces of advice for entrepreneurs. You've been down the road. You've been there. You've done that. You're still doing it. You talked about perseverance. We'll call that number one. Maybe you give me two more.
Well, let's call perseverance passion.
There you go.
Passion is my word.
Yep.
The other one is commitment. Commitment is very, very important.
Okay.
And the third one is get rid of your thin skin, because you're going to have every jealous person or person who's afraid to make that commitment tell you it's not going to work.
Yeah. I tend to agree. And sadly, you know, so many people are so affected by words. And really, it goes back to when we were in grade school and we told, you know, our parents told us, you know, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words can never harm you. We can't even get that through our thin skin as adults. We do need to have thicker skin. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you better have elephant thick skin, because you're going to hear a lot of things you don't want to hear. And most of it will start out in the very beginning saying you're going to be broke, you're going to lose all your money. And you know what? You may have to. And you may, like the Rudyard Kipling poem, If, you know, you may have to.
My very favorite.
Right, me too. You may have to start over with worn out tools and pick yourself up by your own bootstrings. And it's like you will learn so much from losing. And so don't be afraid to lose. Don't be afraid to fail, because that failure is sometimes what it takes to break down the doors that gets you to the real you, the real person with passion and commitment, and the real person that this time will have thick skin instead of thin. Whew. All right. Now, I want to know about your solar business real quick, because you're back at it. What are you doing now?
Well, the solar company I sold in 2012, but it's called Solar Components, and the product is Solar Juice. And it also won an innovation award, because the trouble with solar chargers, it takes them 3 days to charge something. This would charge 2 or 3 iPhones a day. So I'm still in alternative energies as a consultant. I'm working right now with actually a stem cell company, which is very interesting. I like to do things that make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
So it's either medical or alternative energies. I'm involved with many types of green energy. And these days I travel around the world and do keynote speeches.
Nice.
I did one in last July, and there were 25,000 young technical people attending a conference for Campus Party.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is that you have obviously been very successful. I can't wait to get a copy of the book, Father of the MP3 Player, Lessons in Business and Life from a Visionary Entrepreneur. His name, Nathan Schulhoff, S-C-H-U-L-H-O-F, just one F. .com.
And let me say, anyone interested in the book, it can be bought on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it's Father of the MP3 Player.
There you have it. All right. His advice is good. Be passionate about what you're doing. You better love it to the bone marrow. You better have real good commitment, and don't have thin skin. Get some thick skin. You know what? It ain't easy, but if it was, everybody'd be doing it. Entrepreneurs are special. You want to be a part of that special crowd. That's what this show is all about. That's what people like Nathan are about. That's what I'm about. We're part of a fabulous tribe. Check out entrepreneur.com. You can watch videos there. You can listen to more podcasts there. You can read amazing stories of other entrepreneurs just like Nathan. I'm Alan Taylor. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.